I'm Bill Zortman, and welcome to the South Dakota Farmers Union Show, a part of our It's Your Agribusiness series. 12 years, we've done 3,589 shows. Joining us today, on the day that the governor opens the 2022 legislative session, this Luke guy, who is always here. I always screw up his last name, so I just call him Luker.
Luker.
Luker. How's that?
It's good. That works.
You know, we've got some great guests today.
Yeah, we do.
And we have one that's in Washington, D.C., and we're still awaiting on Rob LaRue, who's the presidente of the
National Farmers Union president, Rob LaRue.
Doesn't he have a tie to the Dakotas, too, if I remember right? If I remember right, he does.
I don't know what it is, but
North Dakota had a real tie to North Dakota. But anyway, we got a lot that we want to talk to him about. We've got this other gentleman that is from Oklahoma. Have we got Boomer Sooner with us this morning, though he may be a cowboy?
You bet. I'm here.
You know what? When in doubt, just go Okie, right?
That's right. That's right.
All right, now, you've got a far better story, and we've told it on this air. I look up on television, and there you are on Fox News. I mean, you just own the cattle bin with everything that you did. What went on when you visited with the president and others?
Oh, gosh, that was such an exciting day that really happened very quickly, just over a handful of days working up to that point. It was so refreshing to hear the President of the United States take on these competition issues in agriculture like no one has since Teddy Roosevelt. And to have the Secretary of Agriculture there telling the group, you know, what he planned on doing on the issues, and then to have the U.S. Attorney General as well, that, you know, making a commitment to enforce the antitrust laws, the anti-competitive practices in the industry, just a breath of fresh air that we've been asking for quite some time. And, you know, we had a hearing in the U.S. Senate this summer and then another hearing in the Justice Department. Committee hearing, and then we had one in the U.S. House of Representatives Ag Committee hearing, all on the same issue. And so I'm just extremely optimistic that for the first time in my lifetime, this issue that we've been talking about, lots of us in agriculture have been talking about, we finally got the attention of the nation and of the president, and I believe there's a definitely a will to do something about it and make some meaningful changes.
Scott, I have to tell you, I love it when people cross across party lines or cross across from being a part of Farmers Union and Farm Bureau. You had a guy from Iowa that was talking about dropping a load of cattle at Council Bluffs, Iowa, and they lost $150 while the packers were making thousands of dollars. That is a reason to have some common threads working together.
Yeah, absolutely. The president from the Iowa Farm Bureau was on as well, and he pretty much, we all shared the same sentiment. So, you know, I've said for a long time, this is not a partisan issue. It's not a red or blue issue. This is truly a nonpartisan issue. And, you know, we have some of the most conservative senators in the U.S. Senate proposing legislation right alongside with our Senator John Tester, Democrat out of Montana, and as well as one of the most liberal senators in the Senate, Cory Booker out of New Jersey. So when we have both sides of the aisle at the both extremes, I would argue, agree that this is a big problem. And it's a big problem for consumers. It's a big problem for the national security of this nation. And it's a big problem for farmers and ranchers and rural communities all over this country. And to get everyone's attention at the highest levels, you know, is quite impressive.
Scott, I have to tell you, the consumer is the part of it. That I'm starting to hear more and more discussions about people in the grocery store cannot believe the price of meat, how much it's gone up, what it's done. You know, forget the fact that people are having trouble getting a truck across the country. But they're standing there saying, we can't afford to eat meat anymore because of this. And that's not what you want to have when you have one side that's acting like kings and the others just trying to survive.
Yeah, our whole system has become so concentrated that there's just a lack of really any major competition, any real competition in the meat industry at this point. You know, with four packers controlling about 85% of the fat cattle market here in the country, it's no wonder they have such a market power and such a stranglehold on both the consumer and the rancher. And as ranchers, you know, we've hollered about this for quite a while, but you're right. Our biggest allies, farmers and ranchers, in this fight is the consumer, is the American consumer. And when they see, hey, the farmer and rancher isn't getting paid and I can't afford to buy it, what's going on here? This is wrong. And you get millions of people, consumers throughout the country, raising the issue. I think that's what got Congress and the president's attention. And I'm optimistic for the first time that, you know, we're going to get some meaningful reforms.
Well, would you mind sticking around for another president to join us?
Sure.
All right. We're going to see if we can put Rob LaRue in with us. And we'll talk a little bit more from that perspective. You going to stay with us, Scott?
You bet. I'll hang on with you.
All right, we've got two presidents hanging around right now. One of them is president of the Oklahoma Farmers Union, Scott Blubaugh. Scott, still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right, Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good to be here.
You know, I just think it makes sense for us to talk a little bit about this, particularly with Scott talking about his meeting at the White House, talking about Farm Bureau being involved with those in Iowa about the prices that are being paid. Oklahoma's talking their own thing. And from your side, is this a big issue to the National Farmers Union?
Oh, it's a massive issue. Yeah, and this is, you know, this is obviously a devastating issue for ranchers, independent ranchers out there and so forth. But really, up and down agriculture, we had the same problem. But certainly we are thrilled that we're getting the attention right now on the state of the beef industry, trying to get some challenge to the system and changes. This is a huge deal, and we are just so optimistic, really, is probably the best word to use, with the attention that we're getting from all sides. From really all kinds of ranchers out there, not just Farmers Union members, because maybe this has been shared, but, you know, this is an issue that cuts across all lines.
When we talk about that, an Iowa Farm Bureau Federation President Brent Johnson was there. He was a part of that meeting with the president. We had this Blubaugh there from someplace in Oklahoma. He says he's a cowboy. He's not a Sooner. But, you know, for the most part, coming together for the best interest of those that are trying to buy over the counter is pretty important. And, Scott, when you hear us talking about that, we bring Mr. LaRue in as well. We got a big picture. We can get something done.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, this was a big first step for the White House. And like I said, I think it was maybe the biggest step since Teddy Roosevelt took on the issue around the turn of the century. But, you know, we have seen really since about 1980, we have seen the retail share of the food dollar, the retailer's share go up about 65%. We have seen the meat packer's share go up over 70%. And at the very same time, we've seen the farmer and rancher's share decline by over 40%. And so if you can't see the system is broken with that, I guess you'll never see it. But it sure looks like the consumers have woke up to the fact that they're not getting a straight deal, and neither are the farmers and ranchers of America.
You know, there is so much attention being brought to this issue right now, and I'm really interested knowing from both of you what your opinions, coming from the White House, what are maybe some of the more important, I don't want to say resolutions, but answers coming from the White House to help fix this meatpacking industry?
Well, I think it's a good question because this is such a big issue and so has a lot of different pieces to it that one of the other reasons why we're optimistic is that the White House and our Republican and Democratic allies up on Capitol Hill understand that if we're going to tackle this issue, it's going to take a bunch of different pieces. Part of that is really, and at the root of it, is making sure that we don't get further consolidation, and so we need to be enforcing the laws that are on the books that prevent this kind of consolidation. So that's really trying to get our attorney general there to take a harder stand on mergers, acquisitions, that kind of thing. Then it's also making sure, right, that the laws that are also in the books that can be strengthened, like the Packers and Stockyards Act, that we have in place to kind of protect livestock operators, that those rules are strengthened. And so they have a package that they hope to be coming out with here very soon. We'll be watching it carefully. And then there's also this piece of we can't just, even if we were to break up the four big packers right now, you need to have a system in place for more local and regional processing out there. And so the money that USDA is putting in to helping mom-and-pop operations and more medium-sized operations get out there so that we have more options and can make a stronger market, it's going to take some of each of these pieces here really to tackle a big problem like this. But they are taking a broad approach with each of these pieces, so I think there is reason to have hope.
Well, and you'll have to forgive me because I don't know the specific details, but I do recall hearing something coming from the White House about how they were going to address how meat is, how currently it can be shipped over to the United States and basically repackaged and relabeled as a product of the USA. That kind of ties in with, you know, South Dakota Farmers Union has been so strong in support of country of origin labeling. Is there any discussions like this going on within the White House?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I just highlight that there is now beginning to get a little bit more traction on Capitol Hill to restore mandatory country of origin labeling. And we're going to continue to be pushing on that because, as you pointed out, South Dakota, really all across the Farmers Union footprint, this has been a huge issue. But this product of the USA label is so infuriating and frustrating to independent ranchers out there because unlike any other product in the U.S., besides beef, for example, if it has the product of the USA label on it, the Federal Trade Commission requires that that the labor and each of the parts and all of the pieces there really are manufactured and, you know, created here in the U.S. The distinction, though, on the meat side is that when you have a product coming in from, say, Australia, some beef, if it is cut up into any other side size pieces, it can be slapped with a product of the USA label, and there's no way to tell for sure. So to consumers out there, it is a sham label, and USDA is currently in the process. We don't know what the timetable is, but they're currently in the process of trying to bring greater scrutiny to that label so that consumers would have a better idea. That'll be fairer for them and certainly much fairer to ranchers out there.
All right, Scott Blubaugh, Oklahoma Farmers Union president. Here's what I have been thinking about driving down the road. It's a little warmer here today. We're sending you colder weather, but other than that, we love you guys. But
thanks a lot for the cold weather.
But I wonder, after you've been to the White House, you've talked with the media, you've talked with your people back home, and you've heard from people all over the country, do you feel like something is going to be done? Are you yesterday's news as far as what you were able to hear from the White House, what you were able to hear from a number of people? Are they going to do something about it? And if they're not, how do we put their feet to the fire?
Well, I really am optimistic that they're going to do something about it. And like I say, it's not a Republican issue, not a Democrat issue. It just cuts across both parties. And the commitment that was in that meeting from the president, the attorney general, and the U.S. Secretary of Ag, I believe they're committed. And there is many pieces to this thing. And we're not going to correct all these problems tomorrow. This is going to take a little while. And as these programs come into place, we'll start seeing some relief in certain areas. But, you know, on the product of USA labeling, I would just go to the extent of saying it's just out and outright fraud in what the big processors are able to do. And take a foreign raised product in here and repackage it, relabel it as product of the USA. And then our consumers who want to buy local, they want to buy USA product. They think they're buying it, and they're not. In many cases, they're not. And you just don't know. There's just no integrity to that label the way it's currently set up. And the commitment from the White House to make that label have some commitment and some integrity to it. I think they're going to do a lot of good things. You know, there is no silver bullet to fix our problem overnight, but this is the first time, like I say, in a very long time that we've had a commitment from the Senate, the House, the President, the Justice Department, and the U.S. House, U.S. Ag Secretary. So, I am optimistic. I know there's people that out there that don't think much will change and won't make any difference. But, you know, you have to move the mountain one rock at a time. And I think we're doing that. And for the first time in my lifetime, we're seeing changes start to happen.
Rob, Scott, you know, it is super encouraging just to hear that this topic is gaining so much traction. And I don't mean to put the cart in front of the horse here, but let's just say, you know, we can get some of these issues panned out. How do we ensure in the future that we don't fall back into this issue that you know, the meatpacking industry is in right now?
Yeah, it's a really important question, and thankfully is one that I think everyone trying to tackle this is trying to approach as well, because you know, much like some of the things that the president is talking about doing are being done by so-called executive action. Well, that can change pretty immediately, right? It just takes, you know, one person, the president, to change that. So we don't know whether or not that would last into the future. That's why the other piece of this is getting some of this roped into the existing laws and making sure that the Justice Department, for example, really takes enforcement of existing laws much more seriously, because, you know, those are going to be important things to make sure that this has staying power. Now, we also, in order to get more transparency and so forth into these livestock markets themselves, we have more legislation that needs to come out of Capitol Hill again so that we can make it more permanent so that we don't have to come back here. And then when you look at some of the investment that they're talking about doing in the meatpacking sector and trying to get more local and regional packing plants, the issue there, right, is to make sure that those places can remain competitive and aren't just gobbled up by some of the biggest players out there, but that they have a fair shake, which is really what this is all about, making sure that the market can function like it's supposed to and that everyone, including the independent rancher, has a fair shake in the game here. But with this eye on more lasting change, That is something that's critically important and that hopefully is going to be built into all these measures.
President Rob LaRue, National Farmers Union, Oklahoma Farmers Union President Scott Blubaugh, appreciate you guys weighing in this morning. And I got to weigh in a second time, but that's okay. We appreciate you guys. We'll talk again soon.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. Coming up, we know what's going on in D.C. We know what's going on in Oklahoma. We know what's going on at our grocery counters. When we get back, the governor speaks today. Are farm organizations together? We're going to find out next. I'm Bill Zortman with this Luke guy. What's your last name?
Rendell.
Rendell. Well, I always screw that up, but that's all right. You're a good guy. You know what you're doing. South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Good guys, good gals. They know what they're doing. Luke, of course, with the Farmers Union. He does all kinds of marketing. What is it you're going to be doing in Pierre?
So I'll be out in Pierre this year, kind of riding on the coattails of Mitch, I guess. So that's a good prelude to our next guest here, isn't it?
Well, we need to mention, too, we were happy to have Rob LaRue, National Farmers Union President, join us just a minute ago, and Scott Blubaugh, President of the Oklahoma Farmers Union, who was among those that was in the White House,
yeah,
talked with the president and others, Republicans, Democrats, talking about big money in the packer side of it, and not so much in the beef and the pork side. But in Pierre today, the governor is getting ready to do her annual speech to lawmakers. When trouble in Pierre, we always turn to Mitch Richter, South Dakota Farmers Union. What do you expect? Did you get to listen in to the governor's talk last night? A few did.
Yeah, no, I didn't get invited to that soiree last night, but we'll hear the look back on what happened in 2021. We lost a whole year there with COVID, but yeah, with 2021 and then what she plans to do in 2022. And it'll be interesting. You know, we got a lot of money to spend, and Appropriations Committee started early, a week early this year, just because there's so much to talk about. So, I think it's going to be a good year in Pierre. It's going to be very, very busy.
In our first half of the show, we put together organizations talking about the federal packing plants, all the things that are going on, farmers not making as much. Can we pull together farm organizations in Pierre to make a difference during this session?
We usually do. We meet once a week as a group to hear what other organizations are introducing or their positions on certain bills. At the end of the day, we generally come together and all are on the same page. Sometimes it takes amendments. Sometimes it takes some discussion. But at the end of the day, we usually do. And I don't think it's going to be any different this year. You know, you talk with the fellow from Oklahoma. I hope we can come together on some kind of a beef certified South Dakota beef program that is not too onerous, that producers can get in with very little cost and have a branded product that will sell well in South Dakota.
Mitch, I can't speak exactly for what Scott down in Oklahoma and how they run that program, but from what I understand, they're technically certified beef program down there. Was that not ran through their state legislature as well?
I believe it was, and they set up rules for it. Wasn't near as complicated as what we had several years ago. The language in South Dakota is still laying there. I think what we need to do is go in probably and amend that somewhat. Basically, we need to follow that calf from the time it hits the ground in South Dakota till the time it goes to the local market for slaughter and to sell to the South Dakota citizens. So I think we'll be able to come up with something. We have talked to a couple of legislators in South Dakota about that. They're very interested. They would like to expand the program even further to try to take it to school lunch programs, nursing home dinner plates, those kinds of things. And I don't know that we can get that done, but I think we can certainly work on getting it as a certified South Dakota program.
All right, Mitch, my question for you this morning is, we have more money to spend. Does that mean we get along better, or do we get along better when there isn't so much money to spend and we have to agree?
It's a lot easier to be in peer when there isn't as much money to spend. Because when there's a lot of money to spend, everybody's pet program comes to the surface and they want to get it funded. I think it'll be an interesting year just because the governor has sort of put it into buckets. She's got a bucket for water. She's got a bucket for housing development. She's got a bucket for tourism. She's got a bucket for just, you know, state employees and education. So within the realms of that bucket, you can argue about what the money needs to be spent for. But it's going to be interesting because everybody has a water project in their legislative district that they would like to see funded, whether it's wastewater treatment plant, new rural water, just a city replacement of city infrastructure. So there's lots of money and there's lots of ideas, but it's a lot easier to be in peer when there's not as much money because there's just not as much to argue about.
So who do they put in charge of saving money? I want to know who that person is, and I want to be checking with them frequently to see if indeed we're saving money or just spending it and say, well, we had to spend it.
Well, the governor does a pretty good job of saving money, and her commissioner for Bureau and Finance Management, they are pretty much on the same page. You know, every year at the end of June, we revert and have reverted money for the last, I don't know how many years. I think the Rounds administration was the last time we didn't have money to revert. There's always money reverted. Last year, I think it was like $96 million. So there's a lot of savings that goes on as well. We're a conservative state. We would use our conservative tax estimates on what we're going to spend in the next year, what we're going to bring in. And so there's almost always money left over.
All right, let's see how smart you are, because I know you are. Mitch Richter with us. He's lobbyist, South Dakota Farmers Union in Pierre. Governor speaks at 1. The governor has a news conference at 2. What is the media going to make the biggest stories of the day?
Well, I think it'll probably be around a couple of things. Number one, the budget. That's going to be the dominant talk. But then there's a number of social issues that the governor has put her stamp on, whether it's women in sports, the transgender issue about women in sports, whether it's critical race theory, those types of things, abortion, for sure, she's going to have some bills. So those social issues that not everybody's on the same page, that frankly, I'm not sure that we can go too far into those issues and make a lot of difference in South Dakota. To me, they seem to be a solution for a problem that we don't have necessarily in South Dakota. And we're pretty good about doing that in South Dakota as well, finding solutions for problems that don't exist.
Medical expenses is a big deal, and Wayne Steinauer is going to be on with us tomorrow. He put out a trial balloon last week with the Greater Sioux Falls Chamber about making sure we provided medical services for not just the rich people, but all people in South Dakota. Doesn't sound like a Republican saying that, but for the most part, we're going to give him a listen tomorrow. That's an interesting proposal when you are a member of the GOP.
Yeah, absolutely. Medicaid expansion is going to be on the ballot. There is a senator, Senator Steinauer from Sioux Falls, said he's going to introduce a couple of bills to sort of preempt the ballot measure that would say there is going to be Medicaid expansion in South Dakota. We're certainly going to talk with him and see if he wants to do a program like what we're offering up or if he has different ideas. So in the next 40 days, we're going to find out what those ideas are.
Next 2 days, I'll find out too. All right. We appreciate you. Mitch, be listening this afternoon. We're probably going to weigh in with you tomorrow. Find out what your thoughts were.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, who's this man in motion that's coming next?
Man in motion, Mr. Rocky Foreman. He's in charge of our farm safety trailer, and he's just out and about.
And we're also going to check in with FFA. We're going to Salem to find the state secretary. What are they up to? South Dakota Farmers Union Show. Busy times that we've talked about this morning. You heard from Rob LaRue, or is it Rod LaRue? National Farmers Union President out of D.C., Scott Blubaugh, Oklahoma Farmers Union President, that was at the White House. We put the two presidents together.
They were good.
That was a nice, lucky thing that we did, because one of them didn't call in on time. National president didn't call
in. You
know,
God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he?
But the two of them came together very, very well.
Yeah, they did. They're great guys.
Then we got Mitch Richter, South Dakota Farmers Union lobbyist, and you're going to be doing some things in Pierre as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. Actually, I just signed up for our Ag Unity leadership session, if you will. So that'll be in, I don't know, mid-February, I suppose. But I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, it's basically just getting a better understanding of the legislative process and how different committees and organizations work together.
Now we've got this guy that I told him I was once a man in motion years ago on the Texas Panhandle, and he kind of laughed. Now Rocky Foreman is the man in motion. Tell us a little bit about your Young Producers Conference.
Well, we had a producers conference in Deadwood. We had eight couples that attended. We had some really great speakers that everybody said they really, really enjoyed. So it was had a good turnout and good speakers. And I guess my hope when I put one of them on is that the producer that's there can take one or two things home to put in their operation to make things go easier or better. And it doesn't matter to me if it's from the speakers or just networking in the evenings or in the mornings while we're having breakfast or lunch while they're visiting with each other. So that's my hope, is they can get something out of it to take back to installing their operations.
Well, not only installing their operations, but know that you guys care about the next generation. That's pretty important, too, with those kind of conferences.
Yep. You know, the average age of the producer is like 60 years old. So trying to give these young guys the tools to go on with the operation. You know, we talked a lot about some transition planning there, also about convincing your dad or grandpa, whoever the case may be, to get stuff in order so then you can have an easy transition to take over the operation, because you sure don't want to pay for it twice. And so you just want to keep that in mind too, about having that stuff in order so you don't have to work so hard when the bad time in your life comes and one of your parents pass away.
Rocky, what are some examples of some previous speakers you've had on to just kind of help share knowledge about, I don't know, just anything that can kind of go back to the farm and ranch?
You know, we always try to do a soils presentation. So we've had some different soils people come in there. We've had several different people come in and talk about what you guys were talking earlier in the show about the cattle business and some of the different bills, and trying to come up with different ideas that our producers and our members might think will help the cattle business. We had a communication guy come in, and he talked about communication with your father or your brother or your wife or your spouse to help with the things go smoother on the operation. He did a great job. I found out that me and my wife are polar opposites, so we have to learn how to communicate with each other better. So that's something that I took home that we can work on to try to move things along a little bit better. Have people come in about telling our story as in agriculture. I think that's probably the most important thing we can do right now, and I don't think we do a great job at that, is telling our story and making people realize how hard we work and how tough it is to make it in agriculture right now with, you know, having the four packers like you guys were talking about this morning. If you're a younger guy and you're trying to start out on your own, how tough that can be. So telling our story and making sure people understand what we're doing out here, I think that's super important right now.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, Rocky. And just this day of age, just how difficult it is. You know, it seems like we never have time for anything to get away. So I can't stress how important enough this producer conference really is to, you know, bring like-minded people together. You know, maybe they are from different backgrounds, but to create a network and, you know, just in this world that we live in right now with so many different stresses out there, it's so nice to be able to come together and just to visit about our operations and what works and what doesn't work. So kudos to you for that.
Yep. And the great thing about South Dakota Farmers Union is we discuss a wide range of different topics there and also in our policy book. So if you look in our policy book, you know, one couple was there because of all the work we've done in the cattle business, and they, you know, kind of strictly on the ranching side of things and don't farm a whole lot. And that's why he joined Farmers Union. That's why he attends the producer meeting, just because all the work we've done on the mandatory country of origin of labeling, you know, the compromise bill, our 5014 bill, trying to stick up and make sure that he can sustain his operation going forward there and just the cattle operation. So, you know, it's a little bit easier to get people to attend with a wider range of topics where it kind of gets something to fit everybody. So,
well, and it's so important too, Rocky, just because you know, like Bill had said earlier, our next generation is up and coming, you know, and, you know, farmers are not getting any younger, it seems like, and we need to prepare our next generation to talk about agriculture, to tell our story.
Yep. You know, and like I said a little bit ago, that's probably the one thing as a producer in agriculture that we maybe do the worst job at is telling our story and getting it out there so people understand exactly what we're doing and how, you know, we're stewards of the land and we're not trying to keep the land better than when we got it for our future generation. So I just think that's such a huge story to tell people so they understand that we are worried about the land and trying to take care of it the best we can.
So, Rocky, do you know when the next Young Producers Conference will be?
I do not. We usually have one in the summer and one in the winter. I have not got a date for the summer one yet.
So for anybody wanting to know more information, yeah. Get in contact with you.
Yep, get in contact with me. And we usually have the summer one kind of the middle of July. We try to hit the before wheat harvest and kind of hopefully they got their hay kind of put up. So we try to kind of hit that time frame where it's a little easier for people to get off their operations to attend. So just kind of depends how things go here. You know, I got home Sunday and I haven't really been back to the office yet. I've been going to doing Soul Barn Coffee, so I haven't really got a chance to sit down and look at that yet. So
I need to make a selfish plug here, but the Young Producer Conference or Producer Conference, however you want to call it these days, is free, correct, with being a member of South Dakota Farmers Union?
Yep. If you're a member of South Dakota Farmers Union, it's free of charge. You get two nights of rooms and your food. Then we supply the food for you, so it's free of charge. It's always, you know, I think some people learn just as much just networking and visiting during lunch and breakfast and supper times as they do from the actual speakers. So that's always great too, that people can get out and find out that they don't have the only operation where things don't always go quite right, and other people also have problems that they have to try to deal with each day. So it's just a reminder that things don't always go as smooth, and you just gotta work through it and be as safe as possible to get through another day.
Rocky Foreman, appreciate you, all you do. Keep us posted.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Thanks, Luke.
All right. We're going to go from the man in motion to Jerry Idy, and you've got the state secretary with you this morning, FFA. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. Yes, we have Hadley Stiefvater, the state FFA secretary from Salem, here to share. We have our district officer training and legislative breakfast coming up starting tomorrow, and with 50 FFA members that they're doing some training for and kind of cram stuff into a 24-hour period to get them ready for their year.
All right, Hadley, how are you going to get them all ready and make sure they get something out of it?
Well, we are finishing our preparations today, and we're very excited for district officer training. It's mainly sophomore and junior students that were selected this fall from their districts. And there's 7 districts around the state, so we'll have about 50 kids kind of in that premier leaders of our next group of young people. So that's really exciting. We have a lot of things planned for them, from learning how to be professional in different situations, learning how to work with people that are on your team and learning personal strengths and personal growth to help those people that they come in contact with, as well as working with our state legislators at our legislative breakfast, learning from them and getting that networking in and how to be professional in those situations. So there's a lot of things we have planned for them and some really great content that I think they're going to get a lot out of.
For those people that are hearing for the first time that you have members, how many members in South Dakota do you have, Hadley?
Well, there's just under 5,000 members and still growing. South Dakota is growing based on our numbers from National Convention, where we get all the states' data. South Dakota is one of the states that did grow instead of reducing after a lot of the COVID restrictions kept states from having in-person state conventions and things. So it's really unique and awesome that South Dakota is still growing, and those members are really excited to be here.
I got to say, it's just amazing that, 5,000
that is
in South Dakota. That's incredible. That makes me so excited to hear that. You know, here we are, our last segment, talking about preparing our next generation, and boy, that just warms my heart.
Absolutely. It's really an active members too. The active membership in itself is really encouraging to see that there's so many kids that are excited about agriculture and just leadership in general, wanting to better themselves and better their communities is really encouraging to see.
So, Jerry, how common is the leadership that we're hearing this morning from Hadley? Is this something that just happens once in a lifetime, or you get more than one Hadley a year?
Well, Hadley is a very amazing, unique individual, very dynamic, but she is a great representation of what FFA does for our young people, the leadership skills it teaches our members, and there are a lot of very strong advocates for the agriculture industry that are in our FFA membership, and that's what the next couple days are all about, getting our district officers more prepared to advocate for the agriculture message. And also, you know, with we are looking to move towards our Ag Adventure Zone the end of the month out in Rapid City at the Rapid City Rodeo Zone. And we're looking to grow our presence there and share the agriculture message. And in addition to that, just getting more people aware of what's happening in agriculture education. As Hadley said, our numbers are growing, and that's including adding new programs in high schools across the state. We currently have 102 agriculture education programs. And Farmers Union has just come on board an exciting new campaign for us. We're looking to add a second position for state staff to help manage all the programs that are offered to our young people, so we can offer them more unique opportunities to strengthen their individual interests and passions within the agricultural industry.
All right, Hadley, you get the last 30 seconds. You ready?
Yeah.
You got people out there that are saying, why should I be a part of FFA in South Dakota? What would you tell them?
I would say that FFA is a really unique organization, because as a college student right now, FFA in itself has prepared me so much for what the workforce has and how to be a good time manager, how to manage my own finances, how to be involved in agriculture outside of high school. It really prepared me for that adult setting, and I know that's true of so many others. So I think FFA just gives you that extra bit of leadership, that personal growth and development that is important for many of today's youth as we grow older and become adults.
Hadley, Jerry, FFA of South Dakota, appreciate you weighing in on our South Dakota Farmers Union show. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're in our last minute this morning. Luke, what did you want to remind us about?
Well, I need to make a plug that we're going to be out and about, just like Rocky, the man in motion. So he's out. Actually, that's where Wayne is today. They're out doing coffee in Watertown today. So I don't know. If you're out in different sale barns around the state, you'll probably bump into us eventually. But we're doing coffee and donut sale barn days. January 26th through the 28th is the Sioux Falls Farm Show, and then we will be out at the Black Hills Stock Show January 28th through the 5th.
All right. We'll see you at the Farm Show.
We'll be there.
I'm Bill Zortman with Luke, and thanks for being with us for our monthly South Dakota Farmers Union show. This has been our monthly show, and for the thousands of Farmers Union members and their families, our time is up. Thank you for yours.
Kello News Talk 1320 KELO Sioux Falls, FM 107.9 KELQ Flandreau Sioux Falls, and online at